When we think about God's Word and we read through the Scriptures, we know that it's supposed to mean something to us and it's supposed to do something for us. And therefore, in looking at the passage that we're dealing with tonight, the last part of the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, we stopped last time when I had Anne to read through where Moses' face had started to shine. And that's where we're going to start tonight in this particular portion of the Scripture. My title for the night is God Provides the Ever-Increasing Light for the Family. The family can make its mind up many times that we're going to do what we want to, and the light of the family could be our culture. That could be the way the family decides to go. It could be based upon whatever our grandparents had done before. But if the family is truly going to be what God wants it to be, it will need to have the light from God to control it. Therefore, let's look at this passage and see what we can extract to help us as we go. The 29th verse of Exodus 34 says, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, that he went down from the mount, and Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone when he talked with him." I don't understand what you're saying. Okay. I was disturbed for a second. I couldn't do both at the same time. Let me start back over. "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." Now, that's an important thing to look at, because if Moses has been up in the presence of God, and he had, we realize in looking at that something had changed about him. The people realized that something had changed from him. And I submit that there should always be an evident change in a person when they're in the presence of God. I'm not just talking about when you go, if you have the opportunity to go and be with God the way that Moses did, but I'm saying that if we're truly exercising God's presence in our lives, by the way that we think, by the way that we conduct ourselves, there should be an evident change in the person. I want us to note that God gave his word to Moses to sustain that change. If Moses had just gone there and been in the presence of God and not got to be in his presence again, we see that he did get to be in his presence again when he would go to the tent of meeting. But there was something that was very important. Most people would think that I always am going to need a miracle. I'm always going to need something in the miraculous to keep me going. But God, we can see, gave Moses his word to sustain that change and to be able to share the glory that was supposed to be shared to the children of Israel, to the family of Abraham, so that they could fulfill the task. Now, is there anyone that can really think and in their mind say that I really don't believe that Moses had the Spirit of God in him? Well, if a person can say that, they're not really seeing that not only that the light that shone from Moses was of God, a reflection, but that Moses was actually walking in the presence of God with it coming forth from him. And the people, I believe, should have been able to realize that this is something that we should be able to have, but there's a problem there. Now, since we see that God is the one that produced or provided this light for Moses, we realize that there is something that the children of Israel, if they're going to follow the leader, should have. So what are the things that we should see that the children of Israel, the family of Israel, by extension when we get down to us, what should we have? If God is providing this ever-increasing light, we can see with the one that wrote in the book of Proverbs, the path of the just It says a shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day. Now, in looking at this passage, we see that in order for that ever-increasing light to be there, God gave him his engrafted word. He gave them his enlightened servant, and his forgiven people, that family, was supposed to be able to share in that ever-increasing light by having the engrafted word and by having his enlightened servants, and that would be one of the attributes that they would be able to distribute throughout the world. Well, verse 30 shows that there was a problem. Let me show you. In verse 30 it says, "And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him." That's a major problem. You see, Aaron and the children of Israel were afraid for a reason. What was that reason that they were afraid? Don't we remember that they had went to Aaron and Aaron had built the calf? Now that word fear there is the word iare. It means to be in dread. It means to be afraid, frightened, cautious, dismay. And so what happened is, instead of them embracing and looking at Moses and saying, "Wow, look at what God can do for him, he can do for us," they were afraid because how they had already acted before. And that in so many words, this picture of Moses, the beams coming from his face, it allowed them the opportunity to see that the first time when Moses came and destroyed the calf, and when Moses had to execute judgment, that God was still with Moses. And now him coming down like that, they don't know what he's going to do. He's already broken the tablets. He's already said that you all have messed up. And now he's going up to get forgiveness. And we don't know if you've come in judgment or if you have come in peace for us. And you notice that God in the scripture has Aaron mentioned first. It's very important for the leaders to realize that whenever they have done something, that they should be willing to bear the brunt of what they've done as well as the people. Leaders are not exempt from what God has done or what he's going to do. The word of God says here, "And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all of the rulers of the congregation returned to him and talked with them." Notice, in order for God to provide this increasing light for the family, they need to get rid of their presuppositions of what we think should happen. What do you mean, Tim, of what they think that should happen? There's a key word here. I'll read it. It says, "Moses called, but they were afraid of him. And the congregation returned." That means that their thoughts were, "We need to get away. We need to hide. We need to be in a position where we don't incur the judgment of what God has for us." Yet, they haven't heard what God had to say. In order for the ever-increasing light to come upon a family, this family that we're reading about here, ourselves as individuals, we must allow ourselves to get rid of whatever pride that we have, whatever sense of guilt that we have, whatever fear of judgment of God coming upon us that we have, and be willing to let God tell us where we stand, to allow God to show the family what needs to be done. And so when God calls, we should answer. We shouldn't be like the people in the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Wisdom calls. How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will fools delight in their folly, and scorners delight in their scorning?" It says, "I called, no man would listen." So when your fear and desolation comes, those of us that know the scripture, we know that God said he'll laugh. Here, Moses had to call them because their intention was to not come to him to hear. So God initiates this return, but it's at his word. And so we realize that when Moses called, they make a repentance of not being willing to listen and to hear what's necessary, not let their fear override the judgment of what God has in his instruction. And so now they are being able to be instructed. Verse 32 says, "And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai." What are you talking about, Tim? In order for these people to produce the light that God is providing for them, in order for them to reflect it, they have to be willing to, whatever God's judgment was, to be able to take it. They had to be able to hear from God's leader that he had given them. He had given them a leader. He gave him a shining face. They knew something was different, but he gave them the engrafted word to sustain them. He was God's enlightened servant, and he's given this to the people that are forgiven. Do they know that they're forgiven yet? This is what he's telling them. He's allowing them to see that God is still going to do and use you to be able to do the things that he said as a family, but it will be on his terms. So the sweet word of God says, afterwards the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them commandment all that the Lord had spoken. I submit to you that that is the same kind of thing that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 20 and 27. Paul told those people in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he had not shunned to give those people all the counsel of God. Well, I was talking to Ann about that last night, and she said, well, what about verse 20 in Acts chapter 20? So let's look at Acts 20:20. It says, Paul talked to the people and said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Here, Moses is doing this publicly. He's got the elders. He has Aaron. He has the congregation. He's given them God's engrafted word so that they can be set right, because at one time God said, "I would consume them." But because Moses was able to go and be in God's presence, and he was enlightened by God as a servant, now God is providing for them to be able to participate in being the light of the world. Even back then, God is gracious. God is good, but he has instructions for us to follow. Well, we see that he gave him all the commandment as God had spoken to him in Sinai. That's the commandment. That's the instruction. He's bringing it back. He's not deviating. He's not taking the role of some great person just because his face is shining. He's submitting and giving them what they need to be sustained. But the Bible says in verse 33, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. He put a veil on his face. Why was the veil? They were afraid. They were afraid. They actually had fear of what they forfeited. They can't take the illuminated messenger of truth with an open face. So Moses put this veil on his face, because they look at the light from Moses' face and they would be afraid. Instead of realizing the position and the awesomeness of what God had done, their fear is overriding. But this is what they forfeited. They forfeited an opportunity. Maybe to shine like that, but someone said, well, he wasn't going to shine like that, but God's presence was going to be there. They would have been able to carry the engrafted word and be a light to the world, because God is the one that provides it. So when he covers up his face, and they can't see it, we realize that this is a compromise that somehow Moses came up with, that he would be able to talk to the people, because obviously they couldn't stand to see him give the truth that way. I submit to you that when we walk in God's truth, when we walk in God's light, there's a great possibility, I know I experience it, that people don't want to look at your face when you're telling them the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. Maybe, just maybe, sometimes they might listen to it on a podcast. Maybe they might listen to it somewhere else. But even in reading the scripture, I have found that people will cover their face or their eyes from the scripture and say, well, I've read a couple of verses. It doesn't take all of that. And often they'll read past the part that will deal with them where they are and correct them so that God can provide light for them to be able to be a light to the world, so that they will not let God's light shine to them. They will not take God's engrafted word. They will not become servants of God. They put themselves in the position that Israel would have been if Moses hadn't persisted. They would have stayed in the congregation or the family of the doomed. But Moses found the compromise. Now, we know when Jesus came, there was nothing special about him. But they did the same thing when he told the truth. They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't have eyes to see. But yet, if they had looked at him, as the Apostle John said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. Hebrews chapter 1 said, he is the express image of God's person. They missed the light. And these people covered their faces so they wouldn't have to see it. If I move to verse 34, the word of God said, and Moses went in before the Lord to speak. And Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, and he took off the veil. He took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out to speak to the children of Israel, that which he was commanded. What do you mean he came out and he spoke to the children of Israel? He is still communing with God. He is communing with God with open face. The veil is gone. But God's not afraid of him, and the light that he's getting, he's receiving light seemingly from God continually. But when he goes out to them, he has to put the veil, as if there is something between him and them that they cannot endure the glory that God was giving Moses. A glory that they should be able to receive. They should be able to receive the glory from God, because God is the one that provides the light for the family. God is the one that provides the light for us. How else can David say the passes of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day? It is definitely not the path of the just of his own. It's not his light to shine. How else can David say about the Lord, that the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? God had light for them. So Moses makes a compromise so that they can still get the engrafted word. But the very light that they see and are afraid of Moses, they forfeit. The word of God say in the 35th verse, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. I say that they forfeited something when he covered the face. I say that what God would give Moses to give to the people, I believe that the Bible shows us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we have the opportunity to have our faces to shine with the light of the glory of Christ. If you all will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see something. Because the people here, they weren't ready to receive what God had with open face. But let's look at what we have by God. I want to read a little quickly to see something here for us. Try to explain it in such a way that we can grasp it. Now, the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I will start at pretty much verse 7, 6 or 6. Well, let's look at 6. 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talked about the people thinking that he needed to have somebody to give him a letter of commendation. And he said his adequacy is of God, if you see that last part of the fifth verse. And Paul says in the sixth verse, he has made us adequate servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit, it gives life. The letter, the law that was given to them, that letter, it killed. How many animals died? How many animals died as a representation of those people? You see, the letter, it killed. It actually took from the people the animals that they had, and it put those animals to death. And those animals that were put to death were the animals that represented the people. That's why when the smoke went up, the smoke was a representation of those people going up into heaven. The letter killed because that law that was engrafted in the stone, it showed that you all were wrong. It showed that the only way to me is through death. But I allow substitution. And so it always pointed to Christ. So when we get to a little bit further on in this letter, in the Epistle of Corinthians, it's going to show that this letter was to be done away with. Not this letter, but the glory was to be done away with. And I want us to understand that the reason that it was to be done away with is because God had something that was pointing to. I mentioned before that God had engrafted the word in those stones, and he was engrafting the word when he gave it to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone. And we should be reflections of him as little living stones ourselves. Let me read. But if the ministry of death, I'm in verse 7, in letters engraved on stones came with glory. It came with glory. It was the glory of God. Moses had glory. It says, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses because of the glory that was fading. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with a glory? That was a glory that was given to them. That was a light that God was giving them. God had provided them with the light. God had provided them with a glory. God had provided them with something that they would be able to do so that they would be able to be a benefit to the world. God was the one that was producing that ever increasing light because we hadn't gotten back to where they're building the tabernacle, but that was supposed to be there. It was supposed to be a manifest, evident token of him. It was supposed to lead them. It was supposed to guide them. It was supposed to give them what was necessary so that they could always be walking in the perfect goodness of God, which would be the light of the world at that particular time. He had blessed the family with all that they needed. And so when the ministry of death came, the animals pointed to Christ. Those that would not obey with the covenant, they were cut off, yes. But the mercy was there. But they could not intently look on the face of Moses, the glory of his face, although it was fading. And he asked a question. How much more will the Spirit fail even to give us more glory? I submit to you that when we look at the face of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at something that was even greater than what Moses had for those people. Let me read the next verse. It says, now if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more, does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? See how these two verses go together? How shall the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? Not that the other one wasn't glory, but the one that's going to be fulfilled in Christ is more glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness, which is through Christ, it exceeds in glory. There is still a ever-increasing light for the family. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now that might seem hard to understand. It's not saying that it had no glory, but that when you compare the two, when you compare with the sheep, the bulls, the ox, and all of that had when it was sacrificed, the tabernacle, when it was erected, When you compare that to a living tabernacle walking around, when you compare that to the glory that was in the face of Jesus that God let shine back in Matthew chapter 17, when you look at the engrafted word being alive, when you look at the enlightened servant being God himself in the flesh, when you look at what God is providing for us as a forgiven people, how much more it excels. We're not killing sheep and goats now. We're providing our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have the Holy Ghost in us, and his engrafted word is written in our hearts that are supple, our hearts that are able to change, as opposed to being written in a stone as a document to show, this is the covenant that I have with you. This is the covenant that you have with me. Don't break it. But the Bible says in verse 11, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly to look at the end of that which was to be abolished. Moses put the veil on his face. They were afraid. God is wanting to increase the light. God is wanting to show them who he is. God is trying to prepare them to be a holy and a righteous priesthood, but they were afraid to look at it. So Moses puts this veil over his face. They can't look directly in the face of Moses. But even this was to be abolished, not abolished in what God wants for us as a people, but abolished because one day, instead of an animal sacrifice, it'll be his son. Instead of Aaron being a high priest, it'll be his son. Instead of it being the table of stone, it'll be an engrafted word walking with us. He's going to give more and more light and more glory, so that that glory which was before, it pointed to him. So it's not abolished in the sense that it has no significance, but it's abolished insofar as that now the fulfillment is here. But he said their minds were blinded. Paul said at the time when he wrote this second epistle that we have here to the Corinthians, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in reading the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The Jews that would take and beat Paul, they would stone Paul, they would follow Paul, they would cause Paul to be locked up. They still had that same veil, not being able to see the light that God was trying to shine to them. That same family of Abraham fought against Jesus, and Jesus had to tell them that if you were really Abraham's children, you would do as he did, because Abraham, even before Moses, God gave the law to Moses, he followed God's commandments, statutes, and ordinances. So if we look at this passage clearly, we can see that the veil is done away with in Christ. The mystery. What did all that mean? What was all the blood about? What was the high priest's garments about? What was the tabernacle about? It was about what was to be in Christ and what can be in us. God is providing an ever-increasing light in his engrafted word. His son is the engrafted word. His son is the enlightened servant. His son is the one that died for our sins so we could be a forgiven family, a forgiven people. We should become living epistles or engrafted words ourselves. We're not God, but we should be living epistles, his word. It should be engrafted in our hearts and in our mind. We should be enlightened servants so that we're not walking in darkness, but we're walking in newness of life. When we do those things, we are able to fulfill that the children of Israel, many of them, failed to do. Hebrews 11 showed that there were some that did. There were some that made it. We'll read some more. It says, but even until this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when the family shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When the family, when an individual turn to the Lord, like Moses turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Well, what does that mean? I'll read. But where the Lord is the Spirit, I'm sorry, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, not fear, Not that you're going to be going and God is trying to destroy you, but He's trying to enlighten you. He's trying to provide the light. He's trying to give you the opportunity to say, look, there is a restoration for the condemned. They were condemned. They knew they were condemned. They knew they had went against God, and God even provided them forgiveness. When God showed Moses His glory, He said, the Lord, and He showed that the Lord, He'll forgive whom He will forgive and be gracious and merciful to whom He will be merciful. But He will in no wise clear the guilty. The ministration of death, He put the animal to death in their place. Now, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why I say that there was a glory for them to receive. I'm saying that there was a glory for them to receive, just like there's a glory that we receive. The Bible says we with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We're changed into the image by the Spirit of God. Are we really looking into the engrafted word? Jesus' brother James says, if a man look into the perfect law of liberty, that's the man that can get his act right. He says, but if you look into the word, you just like a man that looks in a mirror if you don't do the word, and you see what kind of man you are, but you forget. And you straightway forget what manner you are. But whoso looketh in the perfect word or engrafted word of liberty, being a doer of the word, you'll be justified in your deed. And the light that God has provided for you, it will be a blessing to your family. It'll be a blessing to those in your family that are rebellious. It'll be a blessing to those in your family that are outside of God's will and standing in His judgment. And God knows that for some reason they are able to look at the glory that you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. That family member that you have that's wicked and ungodly, that person can be sustained by the word of God as well. That's the job for us. That's what He's trying to do. We all have the opportunity to have the glory that they forfeited through the Lord Jesus. If not, although we have the ministration of life through the Spirit, we forfeit the ministration of life through the Spirit, and we can cause ourselves to be condemned. The choice is ours. Do we want to walk in ever-increasing light in the glory of God and be a light to the world? Or do we want to forfeit it as they did? It's up to us when God gives us the opportunity to respond by staying in the engrafted word. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your absolute glory. I thank You for everything that You've done for us. And I ask You to help me to be able to live the life and look at You with open face, present You with open face, so that Your light can shine not only to my family, but to all families that want to behold You and make a marked change in the world. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll now be open for discussion.